It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, today we're going to be in day 8 of our study through the book of Galatians. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. I've titled this study, Counted as Righteousness. Okay, so a little warning here. This lesson and the next two are all very closely tied together. But if I put them all together, they'd end up being like almost an hour long. So I broke them up as best I could. So bear with me over the next couple of days as we dig through all of this. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Okay, in Genesis 12, 1 through 4, we see God calling Abraham. It says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Okay, at this point, God hadn't changed Abraham's name yet. When God spoke to Abraham here in Genesis 12, he told him that all nations will be blessed through you. And God gave Abram this promise, and he gave him a command. Go from your country to the land I will show you. How do we know that Abram believed God? Simple. Because he went. This was something that the Jews seemed to have forgotten, and that, to be honest, I think we've forgotten. Abram was alive and well before Moses. He spoke with God well before the Ten Commandments and the law were given. God gave Abram this promise that all those who believe in him will be as Abram's children. This is one of those cool places in the Bible where we can clearly see that God always intended for the Gentile people to be grafted into his family. Yes, the Israelites were his chosen, covenant, precious people. But God hadn't forgotten about the rest of the world. The Jews would remind everyone about Abraham, but they were forgetting the most important part. They would remind everyone that Abraham was the first of the circumcision, that he was a righteous man, and he was the head of the Hebrew nation through his son Isaac. The Jews would use this as a way to justify requiring the Gentiles to be circumcised. After all, if Abraham did it, they should too, right? What they were forgetting or missing was that when Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, Abraham hadn't been circumcised at that point. In fact, it would be years before he was circumcised. It wasn't until after the birth of Ishmael through Hagar that Abraham was circumcised. Yet one more distinction of the people God had chosen to create through Abraham's son Isaac, not his son Ishmael. You can look that up for yourself in Genesis 17. Thus, Abraham was justified not through works or through circumcision, but through faith and faith alone. Abraham was accounted as righteous, not because he was a really nice guy by the world standards, but because he had faith in what God said he would do. And that faith, that hope, was credited to him by God as righteousness. Not by his actions, but by faith in God. Paul is trying to help these people to see that their own experience shows them that it is by faith you are justified. And he's pointing them all the way back to Abraham to show that even Abraham's faith in the promised Messiah, his trust in God to fulfill that promise, was what was credited to him as righteousness, not Abraham's works. I love how verse 8 spells it out for us. The gospel was preached to Abraham beforehand, the promise of the Savior, and it was because of his faith in that Savior that Abraham was saved too. Abraham received the gospel message. Did you realize that? In Genesis 12:3, the final part of the covenant that God made with Abraham was that through Abraham's seed, all the world would be blessed. Here we see that Paul understood that seed to be a direct reference to Christ. So Abraham received the gospel in this way. Have faith in God to provide. Through your descendants, one descendant will come, and through that descendant, I will provide a blessing beyond what you can ask or imagine for all the earth. Abraham had faith in God to provide such a blessing through this descendant. He didn't know his name or the circumstances of his arrival, but Abraham's faith in God to provide this Messiah demonstrates that Abraham believed in Christ, and that was where his faith was at. Abraham clung to the faith in God and in the coming promised Messiah. So those who have faith and who look to him for righteousness and life are children of Abraham. Even though he might not have been a physical ancestor, he is our spiritual ancestor. He is the father of all who believe, whether circumcised or not. Just as Abraham was justified through faith, so too are the Gentiles and all who believe. Romans 4 verses 13 through 25 covers this in greater depth, and I just want to read that passage now to show how all this ties together. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. A while back, my husband led a Bible study on Abraham and Sarah, and he pointed something out that I'd never really caught before. Before Abraham was Abraham, he was Abram, and before Sarah was Sarah, she was Sarai. When God changed their names, he added the same letter to each name, Heh, which the Jews considered to be the divine letter. Now, it was called the divine letter by humans because it was often used as the name of God in written form. But God knew the constructs of the languages of the people he was speaking to. This was not by accident. And in a sense, God is adding himself into Abraham and Sarah. He is graciously adding himself into their very names as he fulfills the promises he made to them. Now, don't think that this is a magic formula or put too much emphasis on this here. I mention it because it's a neat detail to remind us of how God does focus on the details, but not to make us think that if we add that letter to our names, we can suddenly expect wealth or whatever. This was at the same time that God also gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, by the way, which we'll talk more about that in a couple of days. God did the same thing in a much more overt way when Christ died on the cross. Literally, he took our sins on himself, died for them, and being resurrected, having paid for our sins, he again inserts himself into our lives. No longer does God see us as us, but he sees us through Christ and his blood that was shed. He sees us as righteous because our sins have been paid for. Not because we paid for them, not because we were amazing and cool, but because he paid for them. We are blessed with a justifying righteousness given to us by God in His grace. We didn't earn it, ladies. Just as Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Not righteousness of himself and how cool he was, but righteousness from God. We are blessed, along with Abraham, because of the faith God has given us in him through his grace. It's all from him, ladies. Just as God gave Abraham a new name that was part of himself, so too has he grafted us into his family as his children and given us his name as sons and daughters of the Most High God. I guess my questions today, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, are these. Are you relying on him or yourself? Are you relying on the gift he has given us, on the faith that comes from God, or are you relying on yourself? Are you still trying to earn his approval? Are you trying to earn his favor? We can't earn our own righteousness, ladies. There is no one righteous, not even one. Our righteousness is only as a result of being covered with his blood, period. Our righteousness comes from him and is for him. It isn't from our own amazingness, period. Yet we are blessed along with Abraham with the promise of eternal life and the comfort of the Holy Spirit right here and now, sanctifying us and softening our hearts ever more to be like his. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com. Day 8, Counted as Righteousness.